Love seeing all the faces. This is one of my favorite Sundays throughout the year. This is a special time for us as a church where it's implied in the name. This is a celebration Sunday. And in particular, these are days that we get to celebrate in particular the way that the Lord is building his church. And as we know, the Lord builds his church in a lot of different ways. He builds it spiritually, he builds it physically, he builds it numerically. And today we're going to explore some of those different ways that the Lord is working here at Newcastle to build this particular local church assembly. It's one of the unique Sundays where we actually don't have any baptisms, but we do have a special feature this morning that we don't get to do on a regular basis around here, but very special with installing a couple of deacons into formal service here in the church. We'll explore some families who have brought some new little ones into the church family as well, and then we're going to be able to celebrate together the Lord bringing some new members into our congregation. Should have some time again at the end for some rich fellowship. You all are doing such a good job of welcoming one another and sharing time with each other. So we're going to make sure we have some time for that here at the end as well. So allow me a chance to pray as we start our time together, and then I'm going to turn things over to Chris Metalman. He'll talk about our deacon installation here this morning. So let's pray. Our Father, we come this morning with hearts full of gratitude. This is indeed a Sunday that is worth celebrating, a day that, Lord, we get to give focus to the way that you are working here at Newcastle. I look out and see such a rich variety and diversity here at Newcastle. See folks who have been seasoned and walking with the Lord for several decades, and those who are in this church here this morning that have only experienced life on earth for just a few days. And it is a rich blessing to be able to see and to consider just the marvelous way that you move and work within this local church. So praying that over this next hour, you would encourage our hearts, refresh us as we are able to reflect and marvel at the way that you are so intentional in caring and providing for this local church assembly. So give us great joy and fill our hearts today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am delighted this morning to have the privilege to present to you four of our brothers, and you'll see their names in the worship folder. That's Justin Smith, Gabe Berkey, Tom Gale, and Harry Wilmert, into the formal role of deacon. These brothers have been in the deacon and in development process for, we will say, an adequate amount of time. And with the full enthusiasm of your elders, from their fellow full-time deacons to members of the congregation, we are excited to more formally now install them as deacons with the business card and everything to Newcastle Bible Church. But as we prepare to do that, before I call them up here for you to look at them, I think this is a good opportunity for us to just remind ourselves what this biblical office is. Why is the office of deacon a thing? Why is it so important? And what is our vision for that ministry as these men formally join that service of the church? Now, the word deacon itself, this is your Greek lesson for today, is from the Greek word diakonos, which just simply means servant. A deacon is a servant, and this is a highly used and a highly honored term in Scripture. Jesus himself says he came not to be served, but to serve. That uses the verb form of diakonos. The apostles, who we see as kind of the forerunners to the pastors and elders, they call their primary ministry the ministry of the word. That's the deaconing of the word. It's a very important term, and really all Christians are called to be servants in some way, to be deacons in some way. And even Romans 13 uses the term with regards to the civil authorities, that they are supposed to be the deacons of God serving in the civil government. Wouldn't it be great if we could convince them to do that? But the New Testament also more specifically establishes what we might call a capital D deacon office, as a specific officer of the church in a sense, with a particular charge and a more specific set of character qualifications and tasks set before them that we see in Acts and in 1 Timothy chapter 3. So when we want to understand what this office is for, we see that initial pattern for deacons established in Acts chapter 6, as we're starting to see what this new thing called the New Testament church is going to look like. And we see pretty quickly, six chapters in, that there's a crisis in the church. So church problems aren't new. It only took a few chapters to get there. But there's an issue with the daily physical distribution of food to a certain set of widows, and this is causing a big problem in the church, spiritual disunity. It's a big deal. And the apostles, they recognize, okay, this is a big problem, but we can't be pulled away from what our clear priority is, the prayer and the ministry of the word. We can't separate from that to address this logistical problem. So logistical doesn't mean not a big deal. When a tree falls in front of a road and we can't get to church, that's a logistical problem. It's a big deal. So they recognize it's a big deal, but they couldn't devote themselves to it. So what did they do? They asked the congregation, find six guys to sort this out. Six quality dudes that can do this physical work to make sure that the ministry continues and that we have unity in the church. And that crisis, that early crisis, established, you can call three core functions of what this deacon office is for, and that office that we are celebrating today, bringing in these four gentlemen into more formally. So quickly, firstly, deacons are tasked with serving the physical and often fiscal needs of the church. So a deacon's job is fundamentally to spot and then meet tangible needs of the congregation as a whole. This would involve practical, administrative, and physical work of the church. It's to care for people that are in need in the church and care for the place where people come, where God's people come to worship. So ensuring that we can actually do this is a big function of the deacons. And I think both of those tasks, meeting people's physical and fiscal needs, are also an embodiment of the way God cares for us. And it can be a powerful testimony of Christ-like love that we get to experience here and that the outside world can see as well. But it's not just physical needs being met or fiscal needs being met. It's tangible things, but it's also a very spiritual work. These men and women that we have as deacons here give themselves to very often unnoticed work, to do things that we don't even know about. Ensuring that the rooted students have a nice place to meet, the labor that goes into that, that's not just about the labor. That is a spiritual work as well, and it enables ministry here. And when the work of deacons are done well, it brings honor and glory to Christ. Secondly, deacons protect and promote church unity, often in invisible ways. This issue in Acts 6, where this physical neglect of certain widows was causing this big church fracture, this was a big deal, and it was among controversial cultural lines. And deacons can be uniquely gifted and positioned to be uniters in those situations and peacemakers. They often absorb the shocks that threaten to divide churches by being out amongst the people and helping bring unity. Things that could divide us based on who knows what it is, age, social status, whether you're from Morton or some lesser town, that can cause a division in the church. And the deacons can help navigate those things, so when I say stuff like that, they can tell you, he's just kidding. It's not a big deal. But the deacons can be those mufflers or shock absorbers who help congregants come together where they may have been divided and they don't even realize that they may have been divided. Third, deacons support the ministry of the elders and really the whole vision of the church. The work that the deacons are doing isn't for its own sake. It is inextricably linked to supporting the entire vision of what Newcastle Bible Church is for. And it's also, deacons aren't like the minor leagues and the elders are the major leagues. These are two, I don't know if symbiotic relationship is the right term, but these are two roles that work together in such critical ways that make the church function well. If any one set of people try to do the whole thing like the apostles knew they couldn't, things go wrong. But when these two offices work together, it really helps the church to flourish. And that the result of that, the fruit of that dual structure working together, is the propagation of the gospel. We see that in Scripture. After the deacons were appointed, it says, the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. That's what we're trying to achieve as we pick these individuals and train them and see them work to work together with the other leaders of the church to get the gospel further, to grow deeper and reach farther. And then you might be wondering, what kind of person do we look for to fill such this role? Are we looking for just warm bodies that can do stuff? Well, not even close. According to Acts 6, where we see those first deacons installed, and then in 1 Timothy 3, where we see the more detailed qualifications, it's quite a laundry list of qualifications. It says deacons must be of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, they must be wise, They must be dignified and worthy of respect. They must not be double-tongued in their speech. They must not be given to much wine. They must not be greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. So they must possess sound doctrine and live consistently with it. As it applies to the men we'll be talking about today, they're all married men, so they must be faithful to their wives, and importantly, they must only have one of them. They must be managing their children well and their household well. They must be blameless and proven through testing, demonstrating over time that their character and service actually qualify them for this office. That's a lot. That's a lot that we're looking for. But I'm quite confident in saying the four men that I'm going to bring before you today have been recognized by us as elders, have recognized by other serving deacons, as well as you in the congregation, as meeting these biblical qualifications as best any fallen human being could, and they've been tested, and they've been found faithful. So now I'm going to invite those four guys up here. They can come stand up front so you can get a good look at them. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them, and then I'm going to ask the elders to come, and we're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to pray for them, because that's what the apostles did, so we're going to do it too. So we got Justin, Harry, Tom, and Gabe, come on up here. Yeah, clapping is a good idea. Let's do that. Just to give you a little bit of info about these guys, I'm going to start with Justin. Justin, you may see him serving on the ushering team here. He's also on the safety team, and he serves on our prayer and discipleship team. And you probably know he's coming off of his Super Bowl just now. He loves the Halloween outreach. Some of you, I know you, you can't wait for Halloween to be over so you can put up your dang Christmas tree. This is what Justin sees Labor Day kind of in the same way. Yay, Labor Day, Halloween. And he's preparing. He's going to put on a sweet costume, and he's going to hand out candy, and he's going to share the gospel with people, and I love it. He and his wife, Amy, also have two children, Holden and Bram. And in the community, he and his kids are very involved in trail life as well. Tom Gale also serves on the usher team. He also serves on the stewardship team alongside myself. And as a subset of that, he serves on the facility advisory team. So he's one of the men making sure that this building remains a building. He's making sure the pond doesn't cave in, all kinds of stuff that you don't even know about that men like Tom are taking care of. He and his wife, Nancy, are also life group leaders. They have one son, Andy. And in the community, he is involved in the Boy Scouts, and he's one of the people keeping the Boy Scouts here in Central Illinois. And Tom is a Boy Scout. When you think of Boy Scout, this is the face that you think of. Gabe Berkey, quite obviously, you're used to seeing Gabe up here. He leads our musical worship about 50% of the time lately. But even before stepping into that role on a more ongoing basis, he was already serving as a deacon in development on our worship team, or our worship committee, if you want to call it that. Gabe and his wife, Katie, have a real heart for foster care. I hear they also raise chickens and have somewhat of a mini farm. So if you're looking for eggs, you know where to find them. Gabe has been described as very calm, wise, and steadfast. And I think that's right. I think that's spot on. Harry Wilmert. Harry is not new to formal church leadership, though he's new to church leadership here at Newcastle. And it has really been a blessing for he and his wife, Jan, to be here. With regards to deaconing duties, Harry serves on the stewardship team as well, and his biggest role there is to be the leader of the Facility Advisory Council. So for all of the different projects that we have going on here, Harry's either got his literal hands on it as he's working it, or he's kind of overseeing that certain things get done here. So when that heat kicks on, Harry's one of the guys you can thank that is actually working. Harry's also very involved with the Rooted Youth, keeping him young, I'm sure. I saw him out here after 10 p.m. on Friday, and I was impressed as I got in my car and got the heck out of here. So glad to have a wise man like Harry serving our youth in that way. He and Jan are also life group leaders and very, very involved grandparents. So these are the four men that we are installing today. We are a blessed church to have them. And so with that, I'd like to invite the other elders to come up here as well. We're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to pray for them.
Will you join me in prayer? Well, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you. You've raised these men up, good men, godly men, Lord, and they've served you well here already. and continue to serve this church, continue to serve us, Lord. Thank you for them. And they've been tested, and you found them worthy. And Lord, as you look at the heart, they indeed have great servants' hearts. So now, Lord, use them as your instruments. Continue to use them as they are serving us to build us up and to grow us deeper and help us to reach further. Use them as your instruments to build your church, Lord, everywhere else in the world, but in particularly here. And Lord, I pray a hedge of protection around them. Lord, as I know even this day, this celebration is bemoaned by our enemy, and he will look to see who he might devour. Keep them alert, Lord. And I pray hedge protection around their family as well. Thank you that they indeed are sacrificing as well here, Lord, as and there's been much time that they've given up already and will be for the welfare of this church. So your hand on them as well. So, Lord, we're grateful that you've raised them up and now build them up as they help build us up in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, as we continue in prayer, I thank you as well for each one of these men, for Tom and for Gabe, for Justin, for Harry. Some of their work is highly visible to us. Some is less visible. But Father, I thank you for the sacrifice and dedication of these men. I thank you for their heart, for their desire to serve and make Newcastle a place where we can function and the ministry can go on here in a way that helps the elders and releases some of the pressure that would be on those of us that are our ushers, so that the ministry can be done and leadership can still go forth as well, and we're not all tied up with a lot of very necessary details. Father, I know that if any one of these men stopped doing the things that they're doing, we would notice it. We would miss that work. So, Lord, I thank you for them, and I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to bless our church through them. And Father, I pray that you would bless them as well. Help them as they continue to grow in their own relationship with you, learning and growing in wisdom and grace. And Father, we just ask that you would lead them in ways that magnify your name and help us as we seek to bring glory to your name through this ministry. We praise you for it. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we're going to continue this in just a moment. I just want to say again, thank you to our deacons. Chris really pointed to the reminder there that deacons have all these characteristics and qualities that make for a good deacon. But what those all really point to is a greater reality, and that is their love for the church. And their love for the church comes from their love for the Lord, first and foremost. So I think what you see with each of these men, what I'm really excited about is each of these men, the reason they give themselves so wholeheartedly to the work that they have been called to is the fact that they love this church, and that's never been called into question, and that's why we see them where they are now, so we're grateful for that. Well, we have the exciting opportunity this morning to have a couple of families take part in our parent-child dedication, and so I'm going to invite the Robinson family here forward. First, we're gonna do this a little bit different. I'm gonna have each of these families come up individually today. We got a little bit more time, and
We had a lot of kiddos that were involved today, which is a blessing. But as you know, for a lot of kids to stand up front at the same time, it's it's a challenge. We'll just say that. So I'm going to invite them on forward here. So just a reminder, you guys can come up here. Yeah, I mean, the deacons got to be here. You guys get to be all up here. So a reminder again why we do parent-child dedications. This is not something that is biblically mandated by any means for us. This is not something that is our Newcastle equivalent to infant baptism or inferring some type of special grace upon this family. This is our way of coming alongside them, of encouraging them in their God-given roles as parents and our God-given role as a church to come alongside them in their discipleship. This is something that they have initiated on their own, their desire to take part in this, to publicly affirm their desire to uphold these things. And so we want to honor that here this morning. Now, we've done that in the past for the oldest here, but we get to do so for our newest little addition. So meet over here, Miss Aubrey Joy. Aubrey was born actually back in February, earlier this year, February 27th. So we have parents Josh and Courtney and big sister Elise. Elise, you like being a big sister? Yeah, pretty good. You're like, why is this guy talking to me? Okay, that was not part of the deal. All right, well, excited for you guys. So the way this works is, again, I'm going to ask you some questions. You're going to affirm to me your commitment to those things by saying, we will. So I have a couple of different questions for you, and then I have one question for you as a church congregation as well. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. So Josh and Courtney, if you would, please respond in the affirmative to these questions if that is your desire. So first of all, by the grace of God and by the power of his Holy Spirit, will you individually renew your commitment today to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength as an example of Christ-like love, both to Aubrey and Elise, as well as your church family? By the grace of God and the power of his Spirit, will you together today renew your commitment to love one another by upholding the sacred covenant of marriage and putting the sacrificial picture of the gospel on display for Aubrey, your church family, and your community to see? By God's grace and the power of his Holy Spirit, will you commit yourselves to raising Aubrey in the fear and instruction of the Lord, teaching her the gospel of Jesus from an early age so that she may, by God's grace, be given what is necessary to become a young woman who fears the Lord? I love that. Well, church, this is your opportunity to affirm your commitment because, again, as a church family, even though they have the primary role as disciplers in their household, you have a responsibility as a church, as members particularly in this church, to come alongside them in raising their kids and pointing them towards Christ as well. So I'm going to ask this commitment of you, again, only if this is your affirmation. Again, don't say it if it's not true and genuine to your heart, but if this is your commitment, we would ask you to affirm we will as well at the end. So, church, by the grace of God and the power of his Spirit, will you commit today to coming alongside Josh and Courtney to encourage and support them in their parental responsibilities and to serve them by caring for the spiritual well-being of Aubrey as she grows up in this local church? If you do, please say, I will. All right, excellent. Well, I would love the opportunity to pray over you guys, if that's all right. So if you would step up here a little bit, there we go. I'm just going to lay my hands on you guys, and we're going to pray for little Aubrey here, okay? If you would join me in prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the gift of life. You are the one who knits us together in the womb, and so you are the giver of life, and we thank you. We rejoice in that gift today in little Aubrey. We thank you for preserving her to this point, bringing her healthy into this world, and bringing her into a family that loves Christ. And so we pray for them now as they enter into this new season of parenthood, not just with one child, but with two children, the uniqueness that that brings, but also the great joys and privileges, because we know that children are a gift. They are a blessing. They are like arrows in quiver, and Lord, they are always constantly being readied and prepared and aimed to be fired out into this world. And so we pray that as you help Josh and Courtney to straighten these arrows, to prepare them to go out into the world, we pray for their discipleship, pray for their conversations in the home, pray for their modeling of Christ-like love. And Lord, we pray for little Aubrey that you would again soften her heart from an early age so that she herself would be prepared and readied to go into this world and to, Lord, ultimately submit her life to Jesus Christ from an early age. That would be such a great joy and a privilege. So we ask that you would do so for the glory of your name. We commit them to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, would you join me in celebrating alongside Josh and Courtney today? And as a gift to them, we are gifting them here today. Everybody who has a new little one who goes through our process here, we offer them a free resource. And so this time around, they've chosen the book, The Disciple Making Parent by Chap Bettis. This is one of the most comprehensive guides on Christian parenting out there. So if you're looking for a good resource, this one, The Disciple Making Parent by Chap Bettis, is a great one. And it is yours as a gift to you from our church family. So thank you. All right, at this time, I'm going to invite the Nafsinger family forward now. Nafsinger family, come on up. And today is particularly exciting because we get not one, but two at the same time. These little guys, I've started to call them double trouble, so I love it. We got here little Silas Uriah and Solomon James. Both born October 15th of last year, 2024, so they are healthy young men at this point, and they are a gift. They are fun. I've got to spend some time in their home with them. They are truly a gift and a blessing. We have Tyler and Kara as our parents here as well, so nothing like becoming a parent and getting two for one at the first time, so you guys have been thrown into the ringer here from the very start. But what an encouragement it has been to watch you as you've taken part in this. So same thing for you. I'm going to ask the same questions I did of Josh and Courtney. If that is your commitment as well, just respond in the affirmative as well. So Tyler and Kara, by the grace of God and the power of his Holy Spirit, will you individually today renew your commitment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength as an example of Christ-like love to both Silas and Solomon as well as your church family? By the grace of God and the power of his Holy Spirit, will you together today renew your commitment to love one another by upholding the sacred covenant of marriage and putting the sacrificial picture of the gospel on display for Silas and Solomon, for your church family, and for your community to see? Excellent. And by God's grace and the power of his Spirit, will you commit yourselves today to raising your boys in the instruction and discipline of the Lord, teaching them the gospel of Jesus Christ from an early age so that they may, by God's grace, be given what is needed for them to become young men who fear the Lord? Excellent. You boys are doing so good up here, man. All right, church, same thing for you. If this is your commitment to come alongside this dear family today, we ask you to respond to the affirmative to this commitment as well. By the grace of God and the power of his Spirit, will you together today commit to coming alongside Tyler and Kara to encourage and support them in their parental responsibilities and to serve them by caring for the spiritual well-being of both Silas and Solomon as they grow up in this local church? Excellent. I love that. I love that so much. As I'm here every Wednesday night, I'm reminded of that corporate responsibility when I see all the volunteers, all the people who make our Wednesday night ministries possible. That's part of this commitment, right? Coming alongside these dear families. And so I love that this is a church that upholds those things. So let's pray for little Silas and Solomon and for their dear family as they enter into this new phase together. Let's pray. Once again, Father, we are so grateful for the gift of life, and we are particularly doubly blessed today as we think about Silas and Solomon, who had the gift of being brothers coming into the world at the same time. We're praying for these young guys, Lord, that they would love the Lord. That's something that we know we cannot do on our own. That is a supernatural work that you must impart to them. And yet, Lord, you are so good to bring them into a Christian household. You are so good to providentially bring them into a church like Newcastle. And so we pray for all of us that you would give us faithfulness to be able to model and communicate the gospel to them. I pray particularly for Tyler and Kara as they both impart that knowledge to their boys, but also seek to model Christ-like love within their household so that these boys would not only be able to hear it with their ears, but they would see it lived out with their own eyes. I pray, Lord, that you would give them humility of heart, and again, that you would impart to them supernatural belief and faith from an early age so that, Lord, they would become young men who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways and know the gift of the salvation that you provide in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we are so grateful for this dear family. We pray for your strength and sustaining grace upon them today, and we entrust them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Would you please celebrate alongside me for Tyler and Karen and their family? Now, I pulled a quick one on these guys beforehand because usually, as I said, we usually gift a resource to each family that's going through this. But I told them since they are doing not one but two today, we're offering a special discount. And they get not just one, but they get two resources this morning. So we're gifting them here the book Tying Their Shoes by Rob and Stephanie Green. So really big in the biblical counseling world from Faith Lafayette. Such a good little counseling guide for parenting. And then maybe the best, in my opinion, one of the best books out there on Christian parenting, Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp, that just reminds us again that parenting is not just about behavior modification, but really targeting the real issue, which is the heart and how to shepherd that from an early age. So, Tyler and Kara, these are our gifts to you. Thank you so much for being a part of this, and we're looking forward to what the years ahead look like. So, thank you. All right. You can give them one more round of applause here. All right. Well, we have the privilege now to be able to welcome into membership seven individuals here today. So excited to be able to do that. So Pastor Josh, I'm going to invite you forward here to be able to take part in that and to welcome our newest members into Newcastle. Again, so thankful for the way the Lord is blessing this church and raising up different people to be a part of this community. So I'm going to turn it over to Josh.
All right. Well, good morning, church. As we prepare to welcome new members, it's good to remind ourselves of the reason why we're doing this. So church membership is an official public commitment to the life of a particular local church. It's good to remember, too, that salvation is not based on church membership, but it's based on faith alone in Christ. So I would wholeheartedly agree with the person who would say, I'm not going to join a church because that doesn't get you to heaven. You're right, it doesn't get you to heaven, but it's never meant to be the claim to do that. It's not the purpose of church membership. Church membership is that official public commitment, not to any old church, but to the life of a particular local body. And so even this idea of local church membership, it means nothing more to us than what the New Testament means by that, what this body life commitment looks like. So we intend to add nothing to this commitment other than what the New Testament says about it. So no other burden. And it helps us to define and to clarify for everyone's sake, for the sake of the believer, for the sake of the elders, for the sake of the entire congregation, what such commitment looks like in a very fuzzy world. Now, in the New Testament, it does seem that believers were counted. So the book of Acts records at different points the number of believers. Chapter 1, verse 15, chapter 1, 17, 2:14, 2:41, chapter 4, verse 4, and there's a number of scholars who believe that membership roles were kept. In the New Testament, we also see that believers were identified with particular local churches, such as in Romans 16:1 and 16:23, or Colossians 4:15 to 4:16, Philemon 2. And so that identification really undercuts the notion that somehow believers belong to all local churches. It's just not what we see in the New Testament. Believers in the New Testament are commanded to love, to care for, to minister, to belong to one another in close unity. Acts 2, or 1 Corinthians 12, or Romans 12, Ephesians 4. So that would suggest that there's certain relational duties that the Corinthian Christians had, for example, that they would not have had towards, say, the Roman Christians. So all of that and more points to the value of official public church membership. So let's introduce our new members now. So as I call your name, we'd invite you to come forward. If you have children, you can bring those as well. And then just remain standing at the front here. We're going to pray for you. And then we'll give the church an opportunity at the end to come through and welcome y'all. So our first new member is J.C. Brownlee. So J.C., if you'll come forward. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." So J.C., watching you grow up in this church, to many has been a great joy. Now as you step into formal membership and you're immediately jumping in to serve our youngest members, you're really putting into action that verse. So thank you for doing that. And so thank you for using your faith to set an example and to nurture the next generation. And your dedication really is inspiring to all of us. The next new member will be Brad Glick. So Brad, if you'll come forward. Psalm 127:3 says that children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from him. So Brad, in just 1 year, you've not only joined our church, married Bella, but you're now preparing to welcome your first child, a beautiful heritage from God. So your decision to commit to Newcastle is such a foundational step as you build your family. And we're very excited to support you and look forward to celebrating with you all the milestones ahead with you and your growing family. Lance Kaiser. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So Lance, we've really loved seeing you connect with our church family, especially within the young adult ministry. And even as we looked at that verse, it really points out the value and the importance of community. So thank you. Thank you, Lance, for choosing to commit to Newcastle. You've been an example, an inspiration to spur us on to love, and we too will commit to encouraging you in your faith. And we look forward to seeing how God uses you here, given your work skills, your interests in missions. It'll be exciting to see that. Then we have Brian and Amber Mitchell. Brian and Amber Mitchell. Joshua 24:15 says, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So Brian and Amber, for 8 years, you've come here faithfully with your family, Maddie and Noah, through our doors. And now this commitment to make Newcastle your official church home is just a beautiful declaration of your family's heart to serve God together. And so we're celebrating your stability and your leadership in faith here. So thank you. And then we have Jesse and Emily Cyphers. So our scripture out of Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So welcome home, Emily and Jesse. Your journey in bringing Eden, Noel, Hosanna, and Evie with you from Turkey is really a powerful reminder of God's faithfulness in every season and in every place. So we are deeply thankful that in this season, the Lord has led your family to make Newcastle your next place of rest and ministry. And our prayer is that you will feel strengthened, upheld, and deeply loved here. So before we pray, we have some public affirmations that we ask of our new members. And so I'll read these statements to you, and if you're in agreement to that, you will simply say, "We will." And then we'll have one more for the church after the end of that. So as members of Newcastle Bible Church, will you fully submit yourselves to the authority of God's Holy Scriptures? Will you joyfully follow the leadership of your God-appointed elders? Will you regularly participate in our church's gatherings for the purpose of corporate worship, prayer, fellowship, and service? Will you faithfully preserve the unity of our church with a spirit of love and humility? Will you intentionally care for our members of our church by praying for them, speaking truth to them, and carrying burdens with them? Will you humbly pursue a life of holiness that proclaims the glory of God to the watching world? Will you readily embrace God's plan for spiritual restoration when sin becomes evident in your lives? And should God move you from this church, will you prayerfully unite with another church where you can carry out the spirit of these commitments? Good. And if you're a member then at Newcastle Bible Church out there in the congregation, today will you renew your commitment to this church and joyfully receive these new members into our spiritual family? Thank you. Well, let's go to the Lord now and pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come unto you celebrating. We celebrate with each and every one of these new members here, thinking of the years, for some of them, the months or days that others have had here. But anyway, Lord, it's been good to see them here. It's been good to have them here. So thank you for the way that you've raised even some of them up from coming from birth on to this point, and even at young ages, how they've gotten connected with Newcastle, and how you brought those from other places of the world even here, Lord. And so now we want to pray for them, Father. We pray for their time here at Newcastle, that they can thrive, that they can be nourished, that they can find their place, that they can use the gifts and the abilities that you have entrusted them with to serve you faithfully. May we be a joy to them, Lord. May we not be a discouragement to them, but may we sacrificially love them and care for them and do all that we can to encourage them. Lord, so I pray that you will protect them. I pray that you will be with them during during their time here, and continue to, again, sustain them, even as we looked at there in Isaiah, uphold them by your righteous right hand, each and every one of them, Lord. So thank you today that we can come together and celebrate. We know that Satan loves to go against the church, to attack it, to try to throw everything he has against it. And we're thankful for that promise that even though the gates of hell will fight, they will not prevail against your church, Lord. So continue to strengthen, continue to build your church, Lord Jesus, and may today be an encouragement and a help and a reminder of your grace to each and every one of these dear folks here. So go with us now and watch over us, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. So I would invite you now, as we end here, to come forward and introduce yourself to these folks if you don't know them, and warmly receive them as new members of the Newcastle Bible Church. And then after that, good round of applause would be. And after that, feel free to have fellowship and enjoy your time until the 10:45 service starts. Thank you.